Welcome back into the second of our two podcasts for tonight. This is our Bears Talk here with Ben and Shane again. And we also had a lengthy discussion about Derrick Rose on episode 29. And we also talked about Jay Cutler, obviously, because he's the hot topic issue with us in our group. Shane, I want you to open up the floor for everything, and Ben and I will just answer anything that you say.
What do you mean, open up the floor?
I want you to open up what do you want to talk about? You're the one that said you wanted to talk about the Bears and Jay, so you open it up.
I just want to know when their excuses are going to stop for Jay Cutler.
I think the excuses are going to stop for Jay when, I mean that's a very good question. I think he has to string like two or three bad games in a row together.
Cause I listen, I'm a very big listener of 670 Score, and they talk a lot of Jay Cutler and Bears, obviously, and a lot of people call in and ask a lot of good questions. And this question was asked, and they didn't know how to really answer it either. But they're like, I don't know, like, is it a time for people to stop with excuses for Jay and to start calling Jay out like it should be called out? Like, I understand completely that, well, last year, the back year, there's probably not going to be a better quarterback for us to get. But we just invested pretty much all this stuff. We brought in Trestman for Jay. We just paid Jay this big name contract. We got Jay his, you know, two big wideouts signed, you know, there for a couple more years. Martellus Bennett, Forte. We got this new offensive line revamped. I mean, Jordan Mills has been sucking lately, which is stupid. Oh, Michael Olan needs to play, but when is it going to be enough? Like, the people we have, he should be leading the league in touchdowns. That's the given fact. It's just that yesterday in the Dolphins game, 3rd and 1, Jay Cutler audibles out of a 3rd and 1 run play to a pass to Alshon. And everybody blamed it on Trestman until Trestman came out and said that that was a run play that Jay optioned out of. And there was another run in that half. I forgot what it was. I don't remember what it was, but Jay optioned out of that one and passed the ball. And I think that might have been the play where Jay got picked off.
Yes, I agree with you that Jay, I mean, I think that if you're going to give Jay the option to do anything that he wants, I think you have to give him, you have to trust him a bit, which is, I mean, it's hard because, I mean, it's Jay Cutler and he's not the most trustworthy quarterback, obviously. But I think in part that more times than not, Trestman Jay isn't calling the plays. Jay's checking at the line, yes, but Jay is not calling the plays from, and a lot of the play calling and the stupid things that happen are called from upstairs. I mean, I don't know. I think the excuses will stop with Jay when, like I said, when he goes on like a 3 to 4 game bad stretch. Which he hasn't done this year because he's had the best season of his career.
But that's the thing, which he has the best season of his career and he's still not having a great season by quarterback numbers.
He's not great. That's the thing. I'm not saying that
he's not going to be
Aaron Rodgers.
Top 5.
If you give the average quarterback in the NFL the weapons and the offense Jay Cutler has with the quarterback guru and the great play calling. I'm personally going to say, Mark Trestman, I'm sorry. I thought we had something good coming here, and I have seen nothing at all to where I like Mark Trestman anymore. I just don't. And what people might say it's too early to say that. I don't like that he bought Mel Tucker in. I don't like the defense. I don't like the special teams. I don't like the way the Bears played on Miami. They were not ready to play that game. I don't like the play calls. I don't like how he can't, I don't know. I just feel like that we're paying Jay all this money because, like, why do we have to give Jay such a big contract? Why couldn't we, if Jay wanted to leave that bad, you know, and they, why waste all of our money on a not a great quarterback?
Again, I say David Garrard was available, and we passed on him.
Okay, if so, we're pretty much now. You're pretty much saying that we're bowing down to whatever Jay wants.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying Jay is clearly the best option, and clearly still is the best option for the Bears. You can't.
My point being is that why would you give all this money to a not great quarterback? Because Jay,
you have to.
Why would the front office step up and tell Jay, if you want to be a Bear, this is what we're going to give you. Because you have showed us nothing for that. And if he wants to walk, you know what? We'll try to find someone else to make do for.
Because it's not 2002 anymore. You have to pay him. You have to pay a quarterback that amount of money.
Who in college would you even draft, Shane?
I don't know. I'm just saying that you can't. You think Jay Cutler probably did the same thing, and he's stretching the Bears up for all this money?
It's
not like there's an Andrew Luck out there or RG3 that, you know, possibly.
We wouldn't have drafted him anyway. We had too low of a draft spot.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have. He was the best option out there. Still is.
Yeah, but not for that money. He was not the best option.
You have to sign. Look at the deals that Joe Flacco and Alex Smith got.
And Andy Dalton.
It's the going rate for a quarterback. It's not 2002 anymore. If the Bears' defense was as good as it was 5 years ago, then no, you don't spend that on Jay Cutler because you go out and get an average quarterback that's just going to go through the motions like Kyle Orton did.
Mm-hmm. And we all loved Kyle Orton.
I still love Kyle Orton. You can't not love Kyle Orton.
Well, that's my point, though, is that the Bears invested all of their, you might not say it, but most of their salary is in the offense, some way or another, signed players or contract.
Agree with that.
The Bears changed to be an offensive powerhouse for Jay Cutler, because they thought Jay Cutler, he might not be the greatest, but they thought Jay Cutler is going to step up with Trestman. Trestman's going to reel him in a little bit, his arm and everything like that. But he won't listen. I mean, when's enough going to be enough?
How do you know he won't listen? Like, you're basing this all, like, he was, everybody was completely on board with Trestman, and everybody was completely on board with Jay prior to this game. Jay has one bad game, and we're automatically throwing him to the wall.
One bad game? He's had one bad game? I don't think he had a great game in Carolina.
He had a great game in Atlanta.
Jay Cutler, the best one Jay Cutler plays, yes, Atlanta. You want to know what happened in Atlanta? How many catches did Matt Forte have, or how many catches did the Bears have within the 10 yards?
So you're saying you'd rather have Jay force it downfield 20 yards?
No, I'm saying I'd much rather have Jay throw it within 10 yards and let your big receivers do what they do. Break tackles and block for each other and run.
You're complaining about Jay throwing at 10 yards. I mean,
No. I might have said it wrong. I'd much rather Jay throw within 10 yards. Every pass.
Well, that's what he does. I mean, what play changed the Atlanta game? There was one play that changed it, and that was that 73-yard bomb to Alshon. That completely changed that game.
Yes, but if...
And with Jay Cutler, who probably has the strongest arm, pure passing arm in football, you have to let that go sometimes.
But how many times does it actually work?
How many times did it work? It worked great last year. I mean, I don't know what's going on. Nobody knows what's going on with this offense this year. Nobody knows.
But that's the thing, is that you gotta blame it on someone. If you ain't Trestman, who is it? Everybody's saying it's not Trestman's fault, you know, this and that. It's gotta be somebody.
Do you think that Jay was good in the second half last week?
No.
Well, you know what? You know what Trestman did? Trestman took away Jay's play calling. The whole.
I would too. I would call play the Jay, and you're gonna run this play.
And how did that work out for the second half?
I don't know.
Of course, I'm working on the first half.
Yeah, how did it work out in the first half?
How did it work in Atlanta when he did it?
How do you even follow directions? You think Jay Cutler audibled at the dump passes all day? I don't think so.
He audibled on 3rd and 9 with the Bears, tied to a draw play to Matt Forte inside the 15. He did that last week.
Audible to a run. That's great. I still think that if you're going to pay Mark Trestman this money, this great offensive mind quarterback guru, then he needs to call the plays, and you should just run them. If you get to the line and you don't like it, you know what? If Trestman doesn't do it, you have three timeouts, you burn one. I didn't like that.
Okay. Here, we bring in – what was the reason we brought in Mark Trestman?
The quarterback for Jay. We brought him in to make Jay a better quarterback.
We brought him in to make our offense better, which was bad in the years before that. Like in 2010, we had a great defense. But you know where we ranked in offense? The year that we went to the NFC Championship game and lost to Green Bay?
30th.
Yeah. We were bad. The year after that, we finished 500 and Lovie got booted off the bus.
No, Lovie got fired. We went 10-6. It was 2 years after.
Okay, whatever. That happens, and we were still close to dead last with a great defense. That didn't work. So we bring in a great offensive coach to make our offense better. And I mean,
did it work?
It worked last year. What are you talking about? We were in the top five in offense last year.
We were one play away from the playoffs last year. You think if Chris Conte doesn't blow that coverage, we're not talking about how Jay led us to the playoffs last year?
Exactly, the
conversation's completely different if Conte doesn't blow that coverage on 4th and 16.
You can't blame it on big play, obviously, but I'm sure there was plays throughout the game.
Like Jay made two plays on that last drive after Conte gives up that one. We're marching down the field. Marshall, one of the best hands in the game, drops one, hits him in the chest, drops it. Okay, that one sucks. Next play, we go to Alshon along the sideline. Alshon goes up, off his hands, misses it. And then we have to chuck it deep on 4th and whatever. We eventually lose that game. But if Alshon and Marshall make that catch, then all of a sudden, we might win that game. It's really close.
Jay had one of the best games of his careers, and probably the second biggest game of his life. Third biggest game of his life. He had one of the best games of his career.
We're talking about one game, though. That's my point. We were talking about one game.
Yeah, but it was to go to the playoffs. Like, that was it.
It doesn't matter. It was one game.
A lot of things factored into us missing a postseason last year. Bears had their own destiny.
I mean, it was
win one game in the last 3 weeks, and they couldn't do it.
The Vikings call on when we punted on, or when we kicked the field goal on second down.
That one. What else happened? Romo collapsing against Green Bay in week 13.
Yeah.
Romo throws like 3 second-half picks, and Green Bay has this miraculous comeback, and that gave them the chance for us to lose in week 17 to them.
But everybody's saying that Jay. Okay, I agree. Jay's not a winner. He hasn't won the big game. I agree with that. He's only led the team to the playoffs 1 year. I agree with that. But you have to think, Aaron freaking Rodgers is in your division. Aaron Rodgers.
Probably the third best quarterback in the league.
He is the best quarterback in the league, in my opinion.
I'd say second best.
No, he is the best. Shane?
I don't know. He's definitely up there.
You have to play Rodgers twice a year when your defense is crap. Getting torn up. Agreed. Jay does not play well against Green Bay. He didn't really play well this year against Green Bay. He had those two picks, whatever. We can discuss if that was Jay's fault or whatever. But, yeah, like, Green Bay didn't punt. Like, a lot of these problems this year you can't blame on Jay. But Jay gets the fault because of the big contract.
Jay doesn't get the fault because of the big contract. Jay gets the fault because all the weapons, and everybody knows that the Bears have the best offense on paper.
I agree with you. Nobody knows what's going on with the offense.
You invest all your money in the offense. You get out of the defense. No one expected the Bears' defense to be worth a shit. I feel like the Bears defense is better than what people thought, especially with Shane McClellan.
It's below average.
Falling out.
It's below average.
Shane McClellan worse than people thought.
It's below average.
Nobody expected the Bears defense to be anything at all. At all.
I agree with that.
Our defense is better than it was last year.
Yeah. Okay. But
yes.
Do you think that at some point this year the offense is going to get clicking?
I think they'll.
I have no doubt in my mind that it's going to get clicking.
They can't
sometime.
Get any worse.
That I think. Okay.
Yes, they can though.
We're gonna get back. We're gonna get back to our picks later. Would you guys be surprised at all if the Bears go into New England and beat New England?
No.
I wouldn't be.
Do I think they will? No, I don't.
I picked the Bears this week.
I'm not going to.
I did.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to pick the Bears either.
New England's rolling. As good as the Bears play, I'm not.
Christian Jones just was lost for a month. Their best pass rusher. They lost Jared Mayo. Darrell Revis isn't healthy. I think this is the perfect time for the Bears to have a coming out party. Now, if the defense can stop Tom Brady, that's a different story. But I think Jay plays a lot better on the road than he does at home this year, which is weird. And I think the Bears come out of this with a victory.
Okay, the knock on the Bears this year is that they're inconsistent.
Yeah.
Depends on which team comes to play. A good team comes to play, like the team that came to play in Atlanta.
In San Francisco.
If a team comes to play like we played against, Green Bay or Carolina or Miami, then we lose.
I agree with that.
And that gets back to the point where Shane asks, can our defense get any worse? And yes, it can. Not our defense,
no,
our offense.
No. Yeah.
Our offense can get worse. We can have, all of a sudden, we stop having bad games. We just have straight bad games.
I think.
So our offense can get worse, but it could also get better.
I think
or four good games, and then, we have a bad game against Green Bay. Respectable loss.
I think last week was the low for the offense. That was the low point this year for the offense. In my opinion.
Carolina okay. game was pretty low.
I mean, we scored 20 points. 24 points.
I mean, one of them were in the first half. We scored three second half.
Well, I agree with that.
This is my problem right here. And I know you guys don't agree. Is that I look at Josh McCown. I know you don't like talking about him. He's not a good quarterback. He's not. Josh McCown came in with the same offense, and he made it work.
But so did Jay last year.
Josh McCown had better numbers than Jay last year for the games played.
Yes, he did. But Josh McCown also had the best five-game stretch of his life.
And look who he played, too.
It doesn't matter. Okay, Jay had a really good game against the Falcons. It's the Falcons, Ben. It's the Falcons.
That's this year. You can't compare this year to last year.
We're not comparing this year to last year. We're comparing teams played.
Go back to last year and who we played when McCown played.
St. Louis.
Okay, but who we beat this year? Who we beat?
I'm not getting to this year, Shane. I'm getting back to your point last year. McCown.
I'm getting to the point of what you're trying to make a point of. I'm getting to the point of. You're talking about that Josh McCown played good against certain defense. Who do we play this year? We played the Falcons. They have maybe the worst defense in the
NFL. We're not talking about this year.
We did good.
Yes.
Okay, Josh McCown was great last year. I think everybody can agree with that. He's fantastic.
Can I finish my point?
Okay.
My point being is that I see how we do with a shitty quarterback. A shitty backup quarterback who got pulled out of, what was it? Was he a math teacher? Or high school football coach? I don't know what he was. We pulled him out of there. And he plays great. How would he have? I think he had, two interceptions? Maybe one?
One.
Okay. One interception is that he comes in, plays great. We win football games. I don't care who we played. We still won football games.
Okay.
But my point being is that we see FNCL going to do with a shitty quarterback. Now, why can't our good quarterback, our starting quarterback, come out and put up the same numbers?
Nobody knows what's wrong with this offense. Nobody knows. I mean, nobody can put their finger on it. I mean,
Do you guys think that the Bears have a losing record this season, the Mark Trestman will be out?
No. 2 years isn't enough.
I don't think two. I guess it depends how bad this year gets.
We finished like 7-9.
If this year like goes completely down the crapper, like bad, I could see him getting out. I could see him losing, getting out.
Like if we finish like 6-10.
5-11. Yeah. And the offense doesn't get like going at all, then yeah.
If we finish say 7-9, and there's no judging staff like Mel Tucker should be out. He should be out.
I think
Mel Tucker's not doing anything wrong.
I think a lot of what Mel Tucker
said yourself that we put all of our money into offense, that means our defense is gonna suck.
Mel Tucker's had a lot of injuries on that defense too.
Yeah. Monday's missed a good portion some games.
Conti
out the whole year. Our linebacking core is
Conti. Jay Ratliff's been out.
Yeah, you can't really blame Mel Tucker.
Okay,
it's Mel Tucker though.
Guys, I wanted to get to a real quick point here because we're already at 21 minutes. So I don't think we're gonna do the picks on here.
Oh,
I'll just get them off the air. But
I like doing the picks of the air.
Yeah.
All right, fine, we'll do them. But do you guys, Lance Briggs went on Comcast SportsNet yesterday and
he does always.
Yeah, and named off his leaders for the team, who he thought the leaders were, and he named Tillman himself,
yes.
Roberto Garza,
yes.
Robbie
yes.
Gould,
yes.
Matt Forte,
yes.
And that was it. And Jared Allen.
Okay, those are all respectable.
Wait, who? I missed the last name.
Jared Allen.
What?
Do you guys think that there is a group in the locker room that are Lovey's guys that don't like what Trestman's doing and do not adapt well to what Jay and Brandon Marshall are doing? Do you think there's segregation in the locker room?
No, I don't think that Brandon Marshall should be a leader of the Bears. I think Brandon Marshall is better when he keeps his mouth shut and doesn't say anything. But I feel like Brandon doesn't have a good past. And I feel like after the game, like what could Brandon Marshall freaked out about Robbie Gould for? Like, what could he have freaked out Robbie Gould for?
I think a lot of that goes on in the locker room. I think the media just heard it.
Think so, because they talked about it and they specifically said that they pointed him out.
I know that, but I think a lot, like, I think that goes on in every locker room. The media just heard it this time.
Like Robbie could have said something in the locker room and Brandon goes off.
I just don't see.
You don't know the context of it.
Mark Trestman said at his post game thing, which, if you guys ever listened to Mark, his, like, press conferences, not his post game ones, but like the one during the week.
Some of them.
One yesterday.
I see the tweets about it, because I probably
listen. It is quite hilarious. He has said this year how he pretty much said that, I don't know, this is a word for it, but he pretty much said that he's not allowed in his locker room. He's not allowed in the locker room after games, is pretty much what he said. When we were talking about the incident with Brandon Marshall and everybody else, hilarious. He was stuttering. He couldn't figure out what to say because he could not figure it out. He's too afraid to hurt anybody's feelings.
I think that Mark
to call out his players.
I think
especially
Mark,
Brandon Marshall.
I think Mark Trestman is the perfect offensive coordinator. I don't think he is a head coach. Which sucks because, I mean, he's great, but I don't think that he is a head coach.
But, you know who the Bears need? And you guys are going to think this is stupid for me to say. You know who the Bears really need? They need a Jim Harbaugh.
He won't come here.
They need a coach just like that. They need a coach who's going to get up players' asses. They need a coach who's going to be in their face screaming. That's exactly what I think would turn the Bears around.
He's going to come to U of I, be our head coach, and only fire Beckman at the end of the year.
Yeah. But I think that I think the locker room is segregated. I don't think Lance Briggs is a leader anymore. I think he's pretty much given up on everything. I think that he was Lovey's guy.
There is no – I don't think there is a leader because Trestman is so Trestman's so, like, not having a leader. He has a different leader every week. That's not what a team is about. A team has players they look up to.
Yeah, but I think, and somebody said this on the air, and I don't remember what they said, but it was more of when Urlacher left. Urlacher was Batman, and Briggs is Robin, and Briggs is still Robin. He doesn't want to be looked up to as a leader. He doesn't want to call the plays and everything. He's still Robin.
I don't think Briggs should call the plays. I think that you should have Sharpton in there.
Sharpton played like crap last week.
And he led the Bears in tackles, and he didn't even play the
whole
game.
Crap.
He led the team in tackles.
It doesn't matter.
That doesn't make a leader. It didn't say he made a leader. I mean, he led the team in tackles. He didn't play great, but he still led the team in tackles.
Oh, okay, Shane. Getting back to the leader point, I think Briggs needs to be the leader.
No, I wasn't talking about leadership. I was talking about play calling. I feel like Briggs should not make the play call. I feel like another player should Sharpton.
Briggs is the smartest player, most experienced. He knows what to call.
They have something in their helmet. The coach tells them what to call.
I know, but we need someone on the defense who can audible if we need to. Like
anybody can audible. A lineman can stand up and tap their helmet and say this is going to happen, and then somebody will audible out.
Well, my point is, most audibles come from the linebackers. Shot, okay. Slot chain.
My point
and that's what they needed to do last week when Tannehill broke off that 30 yarder on 4th-and-1. When we lined up in like a goal line defense and they go to a shotgun and zone read, that's when you audible.
Okay. I feel like that Lance Briggs dropped off the table when he had to start picking up responsibilities of play calling and he couldn't just play football. I feel like he's trying to do too much.
I think he's trying to do not enough. He needs to do more, I think.
I feel like he needs to just
When Brandon Marshall was going off in the locker room, Lance Briggs left. He left. Didn't say one word to Brandon Marshall. Left.
What do you say to Brandon Marshall, though? He has borderline personality.
If you are a quote-unquote leader, you say something to somebody who's calling out teammates.
Brandon Marshall is a quote-unquote leader.
Well, it looked like it because he was in the locker room firing off orders and stuff, and Lance Briggs just snuck out, probably went to his freaking restaurant.
I don't know. What can you say to Brandon Marshall, though? He set off. I don't think he was being a leader. A leader does not specifically call out people.
Olin Krutz broke somebody's jaw.
That's a leader, yes. That's getting in somebody's face and yelling and not, like, standing in front of the locker room and pointing at somebody being like, you suck, you suck, you
didn't say
better.
You suck. He was yelling at him.
Yeah, he said you. He pointed out and said you to Cutler.
How do you know that?
Babe, it's all over. If you listen to it, he specifically said you.
Nobody has audio.
They all heard it. All the interview people have said the same thing.
I'm sure they're twisted. Like, if you don't have specific audio, I'm sure they hear what they want to hear. Like,
Robbie Gould was questioned about it on 670 The Score, and he said, I feel like people trying to blow it out of proportion. Yes, it happened.
They do.
Me and Brandon are fine. Everything's going to be fine. We're just a little heated.
Yeah, it's completely blown out of proportion. Completely. It happens in every locker room, I think.
I just feel like Brandon Marshall's not the right one to do it.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think Brandon...
If Lance Briggs was such a leader, then he would have gotten Brandon Marshall's face. Right?
He should have. I feel like he should have. I don't feel like people are scared to talk to Brandon Marshall and do anything because of how he is.
I don't think Brian Urlacher and Olin Krutz would have stood for that.
They wouldn't have.
Well, then Lance Briggs is not a leader.
Brian Urlacher and Olin Krutz stood out named leaders of that locker room.
Then you can knock on every single player in that locker room. Including Briggs. You can knock on Cutler for not yelling at him. You can knock on Forte. You can knock on Roberto Garza. You can knock on every single one of those players.
Yeah, but they were in the locker room. How do you know that they didn't do it? How do you know?
How do you know that Briggs didn't?
Briggs left. Briggs said he left.
Maybe he said what he had to say and left. Yeah.
No. Briggs said on his TV show, he said, yes. I didn't say anything to Brandon. I left the locker room.
Maybe he twisted it.
He said, like, quote for quote. Like, he said it.
I just, I've part of this
happen is because Trestman will name leaders. I feel like you should name a special teams leader.
I agree with that.
A defensive leader, an offensive leader. And then I feel like...
I agree with that.
Room, somebody who knows they're the leader of the team and everybody looks at them as a leader will step up and say something.
I agree with that.
But I think, I mean, everybody in the team, Chris Conte's a leader. Everybody's a leader. Why not? Everybody should have stood up and said something. They're all leaders.
All right. Well, we're going to go into our picks now.
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah, we need to stop talking because we've talked for like almost an hour just on nothingness. But, all right. We'll go with the Thursday night game, San Diego at Denver. I'm taking Denver.
I have faith in San Diego.
That's ballsy.
I'm just going to take Denver because they're at home. I think it's going to be a really good game, though.
Detroit at Atlanta in London.
Detroit.
Yeah, I'm taking Detroit, too. Bears at Patriots. I'm taking the Bears in an upset.
Taking the Pats.
Taking the Patriots. Bears have not won a game in the noon slot. That's when the time of the game is.
St. Louis at Kansas City. I'm going with Kansas City just because they're at home.
I'll go Kansas City.
I'm going to go with the Rams. I'm going to say they're going to keep on rolling after the big win against the Seahawks.
Houston at Tennessee. I'm taking Houston.
I'm taking Houston.
I'll take Houston.
All right. Oh, okay. Minnesota at Tampa Bay. I'm taking Minnesota.
This is Battle of the Ickies. Oh, my God.
Ben's already taken Tampa. I'll mark down that.
Tampa, too.
I don't think Ben's picked against Tampa this year.
Tampa. He's in here. I'm going to go with Tampa Bay, too. I don't know. Tampa, too. Good call.
Wait, hold on. I'm counting up all the times Ben hasn't picked Tampa.
I picked Tampa every single week.
No, you haven't. You didn't pick them in week 3. They were at Atlanta. That was the only time you didn't pick them. You even picked them on their bye week. Seattle at Carolina. I'm taking Seattle in a close one.
I'm taking Seattle.
I'm taking Seattle and I'll give them 10. I think they figure it out here.
Oops. I accidentally marked down Carolina for you, Ben. Baltimore at Cincinnati. Give me Cincy.
This is tough, but I think that Cincinnati wins.
I'm going to go with... Oh, my God, I don't know. I guess I'll go with Cincy, too. I really want to go, really don't game.
Miami at Jacksonville. Miami in my lock of the week. Actually, no, I lied. That's not my lock of the week.
I'll take Miami.
Yeah, I'm taking Miami.
Buffalo at the Jets. Give me the neckbeard.
I'll take Buffalo also.
Yeah. Going with Kyle Orton?
I think I picked Buffalo every week since Kyle Orton started.
Can you not?
It's working.
When did Kyle Orton start? Was it week 4?
3 weeks ago.
Was it week 4?
I think it was 3 weeks ago.
I picked Buffalo for like 5 straight weeks. Philadelphia at Arizona. I'm going to take Arizona, but I'm not too set about it.
This is probably the best game of the week, I think. I'm going to go Arizona.
I'm going Arizona.
Oakland at Cleveland. I went Cleveland, with the Browns.
Baby. Cleveland.
Indianapolis at Pittsburgh. I'm taking my boy Andrew Luck.
Yeah. I picked against Andrew Luck last week. I'm not going to make the same mistake. I got Colts.
Shane, did you pick Indy?
Yep.
Green Bay at New Orleans. I think this is the week the Saints get back on track.
I'm going to agree with you there, too. Just getting back to the home field and let's make a break time for the Saints.
I think the Saints continue to choke. I think Aaron Rodgers comes in and rolls. He's 2-1 against Breeze since 2008. So I'll take Rodgers.
And the last game, the Monday night game, Washington at Dallas. Dallas in my lock of the week.
Dallas, lock of the week for me, too.
Why not make it a trifecta?
All right, quick update on our pick'ems. Number one, Austin at a 660 winning percentage. Caleb is second with 622. I'm third with 613. Ben's fourth with 604. And Shane is fifth with 556.
Come back, baby.
Well, you've been steadily improving.
That's how we do it.
But, all right, that's going to wrap things up for our second podcast of the night. Go listen to episode 29 as we discuss Derrick Rose. For Ben and Shane, I'm Luke. Peace out.